Thanks for listening. My name is Robert Green. I'm the pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, and this program is called Benefit from the Bible. Do you have a church home where God is working through His Word and through His Supper to build you up in Jesus Christ? Come and be a faithful member of Bethlehem Lutheran Church, 7500 State Road in Parma. Go to our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com, to find out more. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, our current series is called God's Life-Changing Truth. We've been through three parts so far. Today is part four. With each part, we're asking a key question. So part one, the question was, why is God's holiness a problem for us? I think you know the answer why, but if you don't, pick up a sermon copy and find out more. Part two, according to God's standard, is anyone good enough? Again, I think you know the answer. If you're not quite sure, again, pick up a copy and find out more. Part three, what is more important, what we think or what God commanded? God wants us to know that obviously what He commands is more important, but is that actually the practice of our lives? Do we sometimes reason God's word away? Do we talk ourselves out of embracing God's word and going with what we think makes more sense? Whenever we do that, God calls us to repent. And then coming today to part four, another question, does God always accept our good intentions? We have found out already that that is not true, but doesn't it make sense so? If we are well-intentioned, certainly God would be happy with that. But what happened, though, with Peter's good intention? We saw Jesus say that he was going to be arrested and put to death. Peter has good intentions. He doesn't want to see such a horrible thing happen to his Lord and Master, so he steps in trying to prevent Jesus' death. He had excellent intentions, but the problem is Jesus came for the purpose of dying. So to prevent him from dying, he was acting like the devil himself, so Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." So even though his intentions were really good, his intentions did not agree with the word of God, and it was a bad situation. Or even going back to Adam and Eve that I spoke about with the children, they had good intentions. They thought, if we eat from that tree in the middle of the garden, it's going to make us more like God. What did Paul write in Ephesians 5? He wrote, "Therefore, be imitators of God." Adam and Eve could have said, "God, we know you are a wonderful God. We want to be more like you. So if we eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, we will be more like you." So they had really good intentions. But it didn't turn out so well, did it? It ruined God's entire creation. It even makes a mess out of our lives today because of what they fell into a long time ago. Well, today we turn our attention to a man named Uzzah, and he had good intentions too, because they were transporting the Ark of God on a cart, kind of hit a big bump in the road. The Ark begins to slide off, and he decides, "I'm going to reach out and prevent the Ark from sliding off." We certainly wouldn't want the Ark to slide off and hit the ground, would we? So he's doing a wonderful thing, but how did that turn out for him? I think you know it didn't turn out so well, but let's see what the Bible says. Going to the text then, we find ourselves in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, picking up in verse 1. And in verses 1 through 4, we basically see the general plan of what they're going to do. David consulted with the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you and from the Lord our God, let us send abroad to our brothers who remain in all the lands of Israel, as well as to the priests and Levites in the cities that have pasture lands, that they may be gathered to us. Then let us bring the ark of our God to us, for we did not seek it in the days of Saul. All the assembly agreed to do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Sometimes leaders have an idea, but yet they're not able to gain the support of the people, so sometimes they choose to go it alone by issuing an executive order. That's one way to get things done without the agreement of the people. But in this case, though, think about David. Could David have issued an executive order? By all means. He is the king. He can do whatever he wants to do. He doesn't need the support of the people at all. But David acted very wisely here, consulting, as the Bible says, with every leader. We can only imagine what he said, but imagine him going to leader after leader and saying, "This is the idea. What do you think of this? What is your opinion? And even more important, do you think that this idea would be pleasing to the Lord our God?" So we have these leaders, important leaders, powerful leaders, representing many other people, and he's getting the opinion of each one of them. And then we see a remarkable thing. As David goes through the process, we find out that the Lord God has blessed the people in such a way that they are all like-minded. Sometimes we don't even agree with ourselves sometimes, do we? But yet when you have two people, it's hard to have an agreement. More difficult with three or four or five. But when you have a lot of people, very difficult to have full agreement. But here, though, God granted it to him. It says the idea seemed right in the eyes of all the people. So they agreed, yes, let's take the Ark of God and let's transport it to Jerusalem. That's where it should be. We all agree, and we believe that the Lord God, that he would agree with that too. So it was a wonderful thing that they were all in agreement. Coming to the second section here, we see some details of what they were going to do, and we also see the celebration as they brought the ark from the location where it was to Jerusalem. Picking up in verse 5, the Bible says, "So David assembled all Israel from the Nile of Egypt to Lebohamath to bring the Ark of God from Kiriath Jearim. And David and all Israel went up to Baala, that is, to Kiriath Jearim, that belongs to Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord, who sits enthroned above the cherubim." So we see David assembling the entire nation. So when it talks about from the Nile would be way down on the southern border. When it talks about Lebohamath, that would be way up on the northern border. So from the south all the way up to the north, the entire nation, all those people, they were assembled together. And then they went to the place where the ark was, there at Kiriath Jearim. And we believe that location was about 9 miles north of Jerusalem. So not real far away, but the idea was, let's gather there and let's bring the ark to Jerusalem, and let's do so with great festivities, with great celebration. So they have agreed together, they believe they have the blessing of God, and now they're going to do it. So going on to verse 7, the Bible says, "And they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio were driving the ark. And David and all Israel were celebrating before God with all their might, with song and lyres and harps and tambourines and cymbals and trumpets." So think about the situation. Wow, their intentions, they were excellent. There was unity among the people, and there was unity even between the people and the Almighty God, and they were celebrating, as the Bible says, with all their might. So everything is going wonderful. But we have one problem here. As the Bible says, they carried the Ark of God on a new cart. So they made a new cart. That's good. But what is the problem? There should have been no cart at all. Going back to Exodus 25, we see what the Lord said to Moses as he was telling them what to do in regard to making the Ark of the Covenant and then how it should be transported for all time. So the Bible says, "You shall cast four rings of gold for it, and put them on its four feet. You shall make poles of acacia wood, and you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark by them. So imagine the ark being somewhat like this table we have up front, a table, four legs. So you go ahead and make four rings about this big around, and you attach one ring to each leg of the table. And you attach them in such a way that now with the poles that you make, you can slip the pole through the two rings on the one side, slip another pole through the two rings on the other side, and that way you could have one or two people on the back pick up the two poles here, one or two people on the front be able to pick it up and carry it. That is what God said they were supposed to do. So we come to part three now, where I say good intention, bad result. Verse 9, it tells us, "And when they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put out his hand to take hold of the ark, for the oxen stumbled." So they're in the process now of transporting the ark. It's on the new cart. They're going from Kiriath Jearim to Jerusalem. Everything is going wonderfully. And then the oxen stumbled, and now the ark is beginning to slide off of the cart. Well, Uzzah's intentions, they were very good. He was going to prevent the ark from sliding off the cart. That makes a lot of sense. I think any of us would have thought, I need to do the same thing. We're not going to just let it go on the ground. But the problem, though, is that the Bible gave other instructions, and I think they had forgotten about them. I know when I read through the Bible, I don't remember everything I read, so what that means is I have to read it again. And even when I preach a sermon, after a while I forget what I preached, so I need to look back at it again. Or when I teach a Bible class, like everything is building up to the teaching, I teach it, I'm familiar with it, then it begins to fade away. I'm sure back then they knew certain things from the scriptures well, other things began to fade away. So it's important that we continue to read and study and become reacquainted over and over again with the things of God. So going back to the book of Numbers then, in chapter 4, we find this information about how they were to transport the Ark of the Covenant from one place to another. Now keep in mind, that would be the days where they had the tabernacle. There's no temple constructed yet. So with the tabernacle, very elaborate, and yet it was movable. So God not only told them exactly how to make it, but God told them exactly how to move it. That's what we have here. The Bible says, "When the camp is to set out, Aaron and his sons shall go in and take down the veil of the screen and cover the ark of the testimony with it." So you had the veil, and then the ark would have been behind the veil. So they were to take the veil down, and as soon as you take it down, use it to cover the ark. So it told them to cover it. Then it goes on to say in the Bible, "Then they shall put on it a covering of goatskin and spread on top of that a cloth all of blue." So they had three different coverings over the ark. And then it says, "You shall put in its poles." So when it was there in the most holy place, the poles had been removed. But now, when they're ready to transport it, you put the three coverings over it, and then you put the poles in place. Then it goes on to say, "When Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, the sons of Kohath shall come to carry these things. But they must not touch the holy things, lest they die." So God had made this very clear, and it's such an important thing, no one ever should have forgotten it. They should have even looked at the ark and said, "Hey, look at that. It has some kind of rings down on the legs. I wonder what those are for." And they should have been like, "Oh yeah, that's right. We're supposed to put the poles through the rings, and that's how we're supposed to transport it. We're not supposed to put it on a cart." But they seem to have forgotten about all of that. So rather than go back and check with the Word of God, they basically said, "Hey, we got this thinking over here. It makes a lot of sense. Let's just do it this way." Apparently, all those people had forgotten about the Word of God. With all those leaders, you would have thought that one of them would have said, "Hey, guys, It sounds like a good plan here, but something just doesn't seem quite right. Let's get out the scrolls that Moses wrote down, and let's check out what he said about the ark before we attempt to move it. But they did not do that. Going on, Uzzah, with very good intentions, the Bible tells us that he put out his hands to take hold of the ark, and then the Bible records in verse 10 of our text, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he struck him down because he put out his hand to the ark, and he died there before God." So God wants us to know that he does not always accept our good intentions. God wants us to have good intentions, yes, but he wants us, before we follow through on them, he wants us to always double check with his word. We wish Adam and Eve would have done that, but they didn't. They used their intentions to overrule the word of God. Peter should have done that, but he didn't, and he ended up being identified as Satan, at least for that moment. And then with Uzzah, I bet Uzzah wished that he or others would have checked with the word of God, but they didn't, and it did not turn out well for him. So Uzzah died, and the Bible records also that David was afraid of God on that day. So maybe David had lost a little bit of his fear of God. Maybe he was feeling pretty confident. Here he is, the king, great nation, things are going well, kind of putting God on the back burner a little bit, maybe doing things his way, forgetting about God's way. Not a good thing for any of us. The Bible says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." So when we think that we got it all figured out, we're about ready for a fall. God always wants us to go back, go back, go back, check out his word, know his word, discover whether we are in agreement or not. So where do we go from here now? Are we any better than Uzzah? We're not. So let's remember that God loved the world, and that includes you and me and Uzzah, so much that he gave his son to be our Savior. We know all the details about that. We know what he did. So when we think about sin, let us greatly rejoice that God has taken away the sin of the world in his Son, Jesus Christ. So how should we respond? Let us praise him forever. Life can be hard sometimes here in the world, but God wants us to know through Christ we are blessed forever, so let us praise God forever. How else can we respond to this sermon? I think we should have good intentions, sure. But we should not act upon them until we know what the Word of God says. So I would invite any of you and all of you to be in your Bible every day and even join us down the hall here in Bible class, realizing that we're digging into the Word of God to know what it says so we can follow that Word of God and have God's blessings and not end up like Uzzah. So we have a lot of good reasons to study the Word of God. And then finally, in general, I hope we respond to the sermon today by knowing how important it is what God says so that we might take it always in a very serious way. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a Bible teaching church, come and join us at 7500 State Road in Parma. See our website for our current schedule. Go to benefitfromthebible.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.